Hello and welcome to the Sales Technology Training Call. This is Rick Cooper. Thanks for joining me today. I'm excited that you're with me. I've got a great call planned for you. Today's call will include 30 minutes of content and 30 minutes of Q&A. You can check your email for a copy of the notes from today's call. And to ask a question or to share a win, you can email me at rick@socialmediaoutcomes.com. And a great place to be on the internet during the call is out in our Facebook group, and you can join me out at Facebook and then look for the Sales Technology Training Program. Or you can click on the link in the email message that I sent out, and that will give you all the details. And let's set a comment goal for today's call. Let's start with 30 comments for the call today. Beth posted a message in the group with that. And now the Sales Technology Training Program is a 12-week program that's designed to help you implement systems online to generate leads and earn sales. And we talk about a number of different strategies, including lead generation. We get into appointment setting strategies and also lead conversion as we go through the content. And all of the audio recordings from the calls are available on our membership page, and you can access other resources there as well. And you can find those links in the email message that I send out every week. You can get access to it there. Today, we're going to be talking about social media prospecting. Of course, social media is one of my favorite topics. It's something that I do a lot of training on, and so I want to share some ideas with you today that will help you to get into action to prospect for business. And I'll also share some additional insights related to social media, things that I'm working on, and we'll get a little heads up on that, as well as planting some seeds for things that you might want to try as well. So first of all, why prospect on social media? What's the value or the benefit of it? The way I look at social media is like this. Social media is where people are. Not everybody, but a certain portion of people are out on social media on a regular basis. And so it's a place where you can connect with people. Like in most cases, like if you probably wouldn't pick up the phone and call the same person 5 times in a week, right? That would just kind of seem really strange unless you're, you know, they're a client and you're working with them on a project or something like that. But in most cases, you're not just going to pick up the phone and call people. If you're just, you know, reaching out to people through email, you're probably not going to bombard them in a given week and send them messages unless they're on your email list and you're sending messages out to your list on a regular basis. Whereas social media, you can go out and you can have interactions with people every single day, and that's considered normal. People are liking, commenting, and sharing things all the time, and in general, people like that. They like to see people liking what they're posting on. And so social media is a way that you can get in front of people, develop relationships, I think, much more quickly in a lot of cases than some of the other methods that you have. You know, when you pick up the phone and call somebody, people often think that you have an agenda. But if you're just reaching out and touching base on social media, then it helps to develop and further the relationship. Social media is here to stay. It's not going away. I think over time, we will see a number of things happen. I've already seen that some people are pulling away from social media for a period of time. Some people kind of disappear from a period of time and then come back. And I think that's particularly true when people get to a place of overwhelm, that they have too much to do. They kind of have to let something go. And so social media is one of those things that they let go for a while, but then it starts to draw them back. So I think we'll also see a change in tactics over time on social media. It's something where, you know, some things are particularly effective for a while and then they're not so effective. I think some of the things that we'll see on social media marketing that we'll continue to see are it's a good thing to create engagement. So anything that you can do to get people interacting with you is generally a good thing. I think the use of images and videos will continue to be very popular on Facebook. And we're already seeing, you know, that more so on other social media sites over time. I've been on Twitter for many years, and it used to be on Twitter that it was just text. And now, you know, for a couple of years, you've been able to add images on there. So the images are going to be very important in marketing. So I think that's one of the areas that you can continue to work on improving what you're doing. And then I also think over time, business owners in particular are going to be looking more and more at leveraging advertising. I think at a certain point, you realize that there's only so much you can accomplish just by posting messages, and that if you want to produce better results, then you need to look at ways that you can advertise. And so I think that's another thing to focus on. Now, let me share with you three keys to social media prospecting. So you might want to jot these down in your notes. Number one, focus on developing relationships first. I think people who have an orientation of just going out to social media sites and just kind of blasting people with messages, promotional messages, I think they've got the wrong approach. And I think if you put the focus first on developing relationships, then number one, you're going to build a community of people that want to engage with you. It's funny to me that I have posts going out there on Facebook all the time, and even posts where I don't ask for interaction, people naturally jump in and interact. It's just by the way that I've trained my audience over time, the people that are connecting with me, that I expect interaction. People will just jump in and you know, start posting comments on anything that I put out there. And so, but not everybody does that. They don't expect it. They don't respond to people, and so they don't get that. And I think you have to realize that there's a value in building a community that interact with you on social media over time. For one, there's a value in social proof. If you have people interacting with you on a regular basis, then people see that. And so that increases your credibility. Whereas if somebody's not getting any interaction at all, it kind of takes away from, their credibility. All right, key number two is to be systematic in your follow-up. Be systematic in your follow-up. I think this is one of the keys with prospecting in particular. And when I'm talking about follow-up, I'm really talking about just sending private messages, because that's the way that you connect with people personally. There is a value in just going out to somebody's page and liking things that they post and posting comments. Of course, Eric Lofholm teaches the strategy of the like bomb, which is going out to somebody's page and then posting clicking on the like button on three or more posts that are on their page. And for one thing, when you like somebody's posts, oftentimes they will reciprocate. They will go back and like things that you have posted. And by creating that reciprocation, it's much more likely that they're going to see more of your posts in their newsfeed. But if you want to develop that relationship one-on-one, then you need to be reaching out to them individually, making a personal connection with them. Now, I'm popping out on the Facebook page real quick to see who's posting out there. I set a goal of 30 comments. We're already up to 14. Great job. I can see Roy is posting. Roy Rasmussen, Alan Murphy, Susan Schlieff are all posting out there. So I'll come out and read some of those posts a little bit later on the call. So if you haven't had an opportunity to interact out in the Sales Technology Training Program group yet, I encourage you to go out there. In fact, I think Karen Kennedy just joined into the conversation. Number three key to social media prospecting is to make a reasonable request at a reasonable time. Make a reasonable request at a reasonable time. What that means is when you send somebody a private message, don't automatically just push toward something that you're offering. I get requests all the time from people where, they'll send me a couple paragraphs with a link to some kind of an offer or an opportunity or something else like that. That's not a reasonable request at a reasonable time. They haven't done anything to develop a conversation. It's kind of like walking up to somebody at a networking event and then just kind of spewing all over them and asking them to buy. You really haven't taken any time to develop the relationship, so this is not a good tactic. What it does mean is that when you make contact with people, for one, keep your messages brief. Keep your messages brief and end with a question. And we'll talk about this a little bit more in a minute. But if you work on developing that relationship and have a conversation, an actual dialogue back and forth, then it will open the door to be able to share some kind of an offer, an opportunity, or more likely just a chance to chat by phone. In a lot of cases, that's what you want to achieve, is to develop that relationship even further, take it offline from a social media site to where you're actually talking to them by phone. Now, who should you approach on social media? Who are good people to prospect? Well, you can look for your ideal clients. Who meets your ideal client profile? The closer that you are, the clearer that you are about who you would like to reach, the easier it's going to become to be able to connect with them individually and encourage them to take a next step. Then joint venture partners. You can think about who are ideal people for you to partner with. Those are people that you can approach. And again, you're not prospecting them for business, but you're prospecting them for possibly an opportunity for cross-promotion. There's a value in developing relationships with people who can help you. In fact, just prior to this call, I was talking to Jim Macy. Jim is a coach, and he's also he's an expert in the area of hypnosis in working with his clients. And so we were having a conversation. I've known Jim for years. Jim's been on my email list. I'm on his email list. And so, but it's been a while since we talked by phone. So we were having a conversation and talking about what he's been doing, what I've been doing. And I learned a few things, like the fact that he's been publishing out on LinkedIn lately. In fact, I think I was just talking about publishing on LinkedIn a few weeks ago on the Sales Technology Training Program call. And Jim actually has 15 posts out there. He's been publishing on a regular basis. And so we were talking about that strategy, talking about what that's doing for him, and I also gave him some tips and suggestions. But we also talked about some ways to partner together. And one of the things I did right after the call was went out and shared one of his LinkedIn posts out on Facebook. So I like to look for people that I can partner with and team up with and help out. And when you find somebody like that, then you want to focus on developing that relationship. There's a value of being able to have people who are cross-promoting you online. Another type of person to approach is a referral partner. And a referral partner is similar to a joint venture partner, typically a little bit different. A joint venture partner might be cross-promoting you by sending out an email message, whereas a referral partner might just simply send an email introduction referring you to one particular person. So I think there's a value in kind of distinguishing between JV partners versus referral partners. And some people are referral partners, but they're not going to be joint venture partners. They're typically not in the business of just cross-promoting people, although they might refer someone to you individually. So there's a benefit to understanding who best falls into one or the other of those categories. You'll also find another type of person to approach are your existing clients. And again, you might also find your existing clients might be good referral partners. So they might they may not be out there promoting people, but they might refer a friend, for instance. Now, when should you approach people? What's a good time of day? Well, a couple different time frames that you might want to think about are midday, like noon maybe, evenings, and probably not on weekends. And, you know, of course, every rule can be broken, but the reason why these particular times I found are good are if it's midday, then it's likely that people are going to be out on social media at some point, you know, from that point on during the day, might see your message and might respond to you. And again, probably early evening. The later in the evening you get to where it's like night or overnight, then your message is going to go to them and then it might go unseen because messages on Facebook tend to stack up. Not everybody gets many messages. Some people get a lot of messages. And so if you're, you know, message number, you know, 9, or if you're first in a series of 10, it's going to get kind of buried down deeper. And, you know, oftentimes people will have a last in, first out approach where they go check their messages, and then whoever was the most recent one is the one they respond to first, just because Facebook messages in particular are in chronological order showing the most first. So that's something to think about. And then probably not on weekends, just because oftentimes people are not in business mode. Some people are not in business mode over the weekends. Some people you may find are in business mode 24/7. Other people, they kind of distinguish and they may disengage from social media on the weekends a little bit or not respond to private messages. So that's just something to notice. And how do you approach people? What's the best way to reach out and connect with people and send them private messages? I think, first of all, you take a gradual approach. So when you first connect with somebody, like some people, when they first connect, they'll send a private message and say, hey, hello, you know, just wanted to, you know, send you a quick message and, you know, and say hello or something like that. And I think that kind of thing is okay. And, you know, generally people will respond back to it, but you probably don't want to take it any further than that because you're really just connecting. If you don't already know the person, then it may take them a little while to warm up to you. One thing to think about is that people, you know, when you meet somebody for the first time, whether it's online or offline, it takes a while before they really know who you are. It typically takes about 7 points of contact before people remember who you are and what you do. And in this busy social media age, it's more like 28 points of contact. A like here, a comment here, sending a message, a phone call. Really, it takes a lot of contact over time before people really, you know, get a sense of who you are and then understand. And so, you know, focus on developing the relationship first. And again, you should focus on having some different points of contact over time. So pay attention, you know, go out, like I'm out in the news feed every single day typically. I'm looking for posts that are out there. I'm interacting with people. But I don't think you can rely strictly on the news feed in order to interact with people because the news feed is really filtered. And so if there are particular people that you want to develop relationships, then you have to be proactive in reaching out to them. And so you may need to develop some type of a system where you can keep track and go out and visit people's pages and respond to them directly. Then also look for ways to help. You know, be helpful. Jump in and respond. That's a great way. And that's also a great way to connect with people through Facebook groups is look for questions that are posted out there and then respond to people there. Remember that people do business with people that they know, like, and trust. So the more that you get to know people over time, the more that they get to know you, the more likely it is that they'll be in a place where they want to do business with you. Whereas if you kind of stay in this zone of an acquaintance, then it's less likely that they'll want to do business with you. And I think that's for a number of reasons. You know, some people have been burned by going to people where they don't have a relationship with. And so they like to know that they can trust somebody, that they're credible. And so that relationship is developed over time. And the other thing to think about with social media is even if you meet somebody in the local community and you pick up the phone and call them, if you're connected on social media, it's going to accelerate the process of developing the relationship. So typically you'll be able to develop stronger relationships if you're meeting somebody face-to-face and having a conversation with them. But if you've had some kind of personal contact with them and then you connect on social media and stay in touch, then that's going to accelerate the process of them getting to know who you are and then wanting to work with you. So what should you say? What should you say in your communications as you're, you know, reaching out, connecting, develop a relationship with people, and ultimately prospecting? Well, first of all, as I mentioned earlier, keep it brief. People are busy, and if you share a lot of content, like if you're sending a private message, then people are going to kind of tune out. So what you want when you send a message is actually to create a dialogue. You want them to respond back. And so the shorter the message, the better. If you send 2 to 3 paragraphs of information, they're not going to want to read that and respond. That's going to sound, you know, too much. You know, it's too much information. And so if you keep it brief, maybe 2 to 3 sentences, and then end with a question, then it will cause them to want to respond back to you. Don't use the same script over and over. This is something that you have to pay attention to on Facebook. Facebook is paying attention to every message that you read. And if they see that you're posting, that you're sending the same message over and over to different people, they're going to consider that to be spam. And they might actually block you from being able to send personal messages. So you can work from a basic script and then change it up each time, or you can have a couple different scripts and kind of rotate through and then change it up. I usually always start my messages by putting the person's name. I'll say something like, hi, Roy, or hi, Susan, and then type a message. But you might still want to change some of the words in it from time to time. But you want to be careful about that. So I think it's better to, especially if it's brief, to just start going through and typing messages on the fly. So you might want to have a number of different scripts in your head that you might use and kind of rotate through them as you're reaching out and touching base with people. Sometimes I'll say something like, hey, just wanted to touch base. How are you doing this week? That might be a message. That's, short, quick, to the point, and ends with a question that would cause them to want to respond back. So don't feel like you have to have a really long message to interact with somebody. Because really, if you start the conversation and they respond back to you, now you can have an interchange back and forth between them or with them. Now, so what are some of the next steps? Well, first of all, have a plan. See, if you don't have a plan on how to prospect for people you're on Facebook or other social media sites, you're probably not going to prospect them. And so it's a matter of figuring out, what is the process? How many interactions back and forth? Where do you lead people? If you're going to lead people to a phone call, then how do you ask for that? What is the particular script that you would use at the point that you want to schedule an appointment with somebody? What are some of the reasons that you might be contacting people? Do you have an event coming up? Is there something where you might have an interaction with somebody and ask them to come to an event, for instance? The other thing is, your interactions are going to be different if you're reaching out to a new prospect versus an existing client. Like some of the message that I send out to my existing clients might be just trying to get them to engage, encouraging them to join me on a call or participate in some type of a challenge that I'm doing or something like that. So some of those interactions have a specific purpose in trying to drive greater engagement, get them involved. Also, have a list. Lists are very important for any kind of prospecting activity. I recommend that you use a spreadsheet. Spreadsheets are simple to set up, and the main thing about a spreadsheet is having a list of people. So you have to figure out how are you going to compile the list of people to follow up with. And I'll give you a simple tip here. You might want to jot this down in your notes. What I've typically done in the past, and let me give you first the reason why, the general approach won't work. If you go out to your Facebook page and you click on your friends button, it will show you a list of your friends. Now, if you only have 100 friends, then not a big deal. You could probably easily go through and compile a list of friends. But if you're like me and you have 4,100 friends, then this approach isn't going to work because every time you go into the list, typically it's going to refresh and it reorders it. And so you can't just go through and compile a list. Nobody's got the time to go through and compile, say, over a couple thousand friends at once. And so what you need is more of the time release plan where you do this over time. And so the best approach that I found is to do it based on birthdays. Every day, somebody's having a birthday. Obviously, if you have less than 300 friends, chances are you're probably going to have a number of days that nobody's having a birthday. For the number of friends that I have on average about 8 to 10 birthdays every single day that people have. And so I can always go out and then I can look to see who's having a birthday that day. And while you're there, you might as well wish them a happy birthday. But also copy and paste a link out to their Facebook page into the spreadsheet and put their name there and also put their birth date there. And then if you just did that one simple thing every day over the course of a year, you'd have a full list of people. Now, one little tip here, I don't recommend that you try contacting people on their birthday and trying to start a conversation. Typically, that's one of the busiest days that people will have in terms of people contacting them. So, it's not a good time to be reaching out, either the week before or the week after. But after that, it's okay. So typically, oftentimes, what I'll do is I'll reach out to people about a month after their birthday. So I compile the list, and then I'll follow up with people about a month later. And that's a good time to be reaching out and touching base with people. And again, you're just wanting to jump out there, send them a private message, start a conversation, and go from there. And then over time, then you just have to actively go back and follow up with people. Like sometimes you send people a message and they'll respond back. But in a lot of cases, you send people a message and they don't respond. And so now, you know, you have to follow up at some point and try to engage them again. And again, some people just may not follow up with you, and that's okay. There are other methods and means that you can use to reach out to people. But they might see your message. They might scroll through and see your message and just not respond to you. Some people are just not chatty. So, you know, or at least they're not chatty over social media. And so you have to find some other method to communicate with them. And then work your list. Develop the list and then work your list over time. Have a plan to reach out to a certain number of people each day. And I think if you can set it as a goal, like a specific number of people to reach out to, maybe 3 a day or 5 a day or 10 a day, then that becomes part of a routine that you can set. Like I'm going to do this every day. I'm going to send 3 messages a day to people on Facebook. And that way you have an activity-driven goal that will help you to reach out to people. And just by doing that activity, you start getting some interaction with people back and forth. And, of course, the other thing to do is filter your list over time. Not everybody, not all your friends on Facebook or your followers on Twitter are ideal customers or clients for you. So to the extent that you can filter and figure out who are the best prospects and then focus in on them, then you're going to get a better result. And also remember that Facebook friends come and go. I just noticed today when I went into Facebook that I lost 16 friends. And on average, I might lose a couple friends in a week, but it's pretty unusual to just lose 16 at once. And I did a little bit of investigating, and I found out that apparently Jimmy Kimmel, the comedian and talk show host, had declared November 17th National Unfriend Day. And so I think that caused people to look for people to unfriend. And so you might have noticed that you lost a few friends in the process. And, hey, you know what? Facebook friends come and go. Don't worry about it. You know, it's kind of like having people unsubscribe from your email list. It tells you that the rest of the people on your list want to hear from you. So be encouraged and continue to post messages out there. Now, another approach is what I call cross-channel communication, which is mixing social media communication with email and phone communication. And you can also mix in communications with different social media networks. So the way that I approach it is if you identify somebody as an ideal prospect, then what you can think about is how do I want to communicate with them over time? So, you know, maybe I start off with sending them a private message on Facebook, and then I follow up with an email message, and then I go send them a message on LinkedIn, and then maybe I go retweet something on Twitter, and then maybe I make a phone call. So you want to show up in different places because people get a different sense of you on different social media networks and through different platforms. And if you're just communicating with somebody on one platform in particular, then they're only going to kind of getting a one-dimensional view of you. But if you're communicating them and reaching them through different methods, then it kind of works on them, you know, subtly. It's kind of like a subliminal message. It's like, oh, wow, I'm seeing this person all over the place. It's kind of like their subconscious mind is perceiving it, but they're not necessarily, you know, thinking to themselves, oh, this person is trying to reach me. And you know, unless it's just a direct private message or something like that. So, but there's a value in communicating with people across different social media networks, you know, going and following their boards on Pinterest and liking their pins out there, or being connected with them on Instagram and liking some of their pictures. So you want your name showing up all over the place, and that helps to you know, get them thinking about you. And what happens when people start paying attention to you? Well, they start getting more interested. They go take a look at your page, and they take a look at your about page, and they might click and go to your website. And they might, if they see a free offer or something like that, they might go opt in. So if you're in front of people on a regular basis, then they're going to be much more interested in wanting to communicate with you. Now, there's also a power in using teasers in your communications. So don't, you know, if you're sending somebody a message, for instance, or posting out there, you don't always have to just, you know, jump right out and tell people what it is that you're wanting to share with them. There's a value in using curiosity as a way of getting their attention. And, you know, whether it's by email or a phone call or something else that you're sharing, think about ways that you can pique somebody's curiosity, get them interested in what it is that, you know, that you have to share. And that will cause them to want to respond back and learn more. I do this sometimes in posting out on Facebook. Sometimes I might share, I might say something like, hey, I just sent out a great email where I shared, a great tip to increase revenue or something like that. If you'd like to learn more, then, or if you'd like a copy of this message or information, then send me a private message on Facebook. And that'll sometimes generate some interest from people who want more details. And so things that you can do that will pique people's curiosity, get them interested, can be beneficial. All right, got a couple more ideas to share, but I want to pop out to the Facebook page and read some of your messages out there. And it looks like we are up to 32. Good. So we've met our goal so far today. Great job. Roy says, hi, everyone. Alan Murphy says, social media prospecting today. Roy Rasmussen said, why prospect on social media? Social media is where people are. Yeah, in today's age, they are out on social media. And by the way, there are new social medias that come up all the time. Think about, for your particular audience, where people are. Like some people are out on new social media networks and sites like Snapchat. And so you'd have to evaluate and say, well, is my audience out on Snapchat? Some of these things, oftentimes, younger audiences are jumping out there. Particularly, a lot of younger people have kind of fled Facebook as, you know, adults and their grandparents. You know, people started participating there. So it used to be, you know, when Facebook first started, it was college students. And then it started to expand, and so you saw, you know, people younger, you know, people from high school jumping in, and you saw, you know, people who are older in their 20s and 30s getting on there. And then slowly over time, it's been a progression to where now you have people in their, you know, 80s and 90s on Facebook. And so as that's happened, a lot of the younger audience has jumped to other sites, whether it be Instagram or Snapchat or other sites that are out there. And so now, you know, audiences change for social media. So you want to think about who is your audience? Who are you trying to reach? What sites are they active on? And if there's a new site that's out, then you have to kind of take a look at it and say, well, am I going to find my ideal customers or clients here? You know, where are people going? Where are people interacting? And by the way, there are also other sorts of niche-oriented sites where you can find people who are interested in special, you know, have special interests. Alan Murphy said, social media is where people are hanging out and interacting. Yeah, and by the way, you know, one thing about social media is that oftentimes you'll find people on social media during downtime, like during breaks or lunch or at the grocery store or in the evenings when they're, you know, in front of the TV hanging out or even sometimes in bed. You know, it's very intimate to be communicating with somebody while they're laying in bed. And you don't necessarily know that, but you can kind of assume after a certain hour at night that people are just kind of, you know, chilling out, you know, in their house, hanging out and having communication. So, you know, people are at a different level of intimacy at that point than if they're just, you know, sitting in their office or something like that. So social media can be very personal in a way to connect and communicate with people. And people kind of let their hair down on social media too. Alan says, social media is a way to reach out to people and establish relationships. Roy said, social media trends come and go in cycles. Yeah, you know, sometimes things are popular for a while, and then, you know, one of the things that actually Facebook outlawed a while back was clickbaiting. Clickbaiting is a process where people will post things like you typically see it on like the celebrity sites. What they would do is they would say something like two celebrity stars are fighting on the red carpet. Who are they? And then people would click to go out. So they're not really telling much about what it is. They're just sharing enough. It's kind of like I mentioned earlier about, you know, piquing people's curiosity. And they would go out there and they would quickly return to Facebook. And so Facebook instituted some policies that that reduces the popularity of those types of posts. Those types of posts would tend to go viral in the past, and now they're starting to filter those out. So that means people have to adopt different strategies. Roy said, Rick predicts multimedia use of images and videos will continue to be important in the future. Absolutely. You know, there is a certain entertainment value to videos. I look for videos that tend to be viral in nature and share those out there. Within the last couple weeks, I shared a post about a plane that was landing at an airport, and they had a problem with the landing gear. And I saw that, and I posted a message, and I said something like, I remember this is one of the reasons I don't like to fly, or something like that. How would you like to be on a plane when this happened? And it was already a viral video, but I had probably over 30 to 40 people post on that video. Now, it's more valuable for you to be sharing images and videos that you upload than somebody else's, but there still is a value of having people interact on a post like that. Alan says, social media may change, but it is always going to be out there. Yeah. You know, if you think about it, even before social media, we had bulletin boards and forums and everything else like that. There's always going to be a value for people looking for community, looking for people, like-minded people that they can interact with. And so there may be new sites that launch and new ways to communicate, but people are always going to look for people who they can communicate with and get ideas and information, people who will challenge them, lift them up, motivate them. And so social media just happens to be an effective way of doing that. And so social media will continue to change over time, but people are always going to be looking for ways to interact and connect with people. And so you want to look for the opportunities to develop personal relationships with people. And that will allow you to be able to prospect people over time. And I don't even know if prospecting is the right word, but it's just a sales term that describes, to me, it describes proactively reaching out and communicating with people where there's a possibility that you might ultimately do business together. That to me is what prospecting is all about, versus just contacting people who, you know, might be friends. And oftentimes, by the way, you don't even have to prospect people directly. Sometimes if you're just sharing things related to your business over time, then people will naturally take a next step. But you have to be more careful these days, especially on Facebook. You want to be careful about not posting business-related things on your personal page. If Facebook perceives that you're posting too much that's business or promotional, they may convert your personal account into a business account. And so for that reason, it becomes even more important to kind of develop the personal relationships with people. Roy said, social media advertising will continue to grow in importance. Yeah, it's just one of those things where typically, you know, the people who pay are probably going to get a better result over time. And the other thing is that you're paying in part to reach new audiences, to reach people that you cannot reach otherwise. And you're following the rules. You know, Facebook is going to give preference to businesses that are using their advertising process. And so that's going to allow you to reach typically more of the right people. Roy said, keys to social media prospecting. One, focus on developing relationships first. Two, be systematic in your follow-up. And three, make a reasonable request at a reasonable time. Good summary. Thanks, Roy. Susan said, I'll make a quick comment before I get on my rebounder for some exercise. Too cold to go out for a walk. Rick, I thought I had seen an email from you about offering a blog review service, but when I looked over the weekend, I couldn't find it. Yeah, that was, that was about 2 months ago, I think, Susan. If you're interested in that, and you can email me, or I think you already contacted me through Facebook Message or something like that, so I'd be happy to do a blog review for you. Alan said, interacting with others in social media gives you credibility. Yeah, you know, there's a value in social proof. People kind of assume that the more friends you have on Facebook and the more followers you have on Twitter and the more endorsements people endorsing you on LinkedIn, then the more credible you are. And so people also assume the opposite, that if you don't have that many friends or connections, then, you know, you're not successful. And, you know, so somebody could be successful but not have a big social media presence, and it gives the appearance that they're not successful. So social media is a way of establishing your credibility. And beyond that, too, I think there's just a value in having your clients and your followers and your evangelists and others sharing what you're doing. You know, people like to help other people out. And what's great is it's easy to help people. You know, even just liking or commenting or sharing something will create visibility in front of their audiences too, especially on Facebook. So it's easy to help other people out without having to be, really promotional or something like that. Karen said, hi, everyone. Thanks for being on the call today, Karen. Roy said, let me skip down. Tom Holtis is on the call and said, use the 80-20 rule on your posts. Yeah. 80-20 is 80% of your posts on social media should be informational, only 20% should be promotional. And I've revised that over time where I say use the 80-20 rule on your business Facebook page, but on your personal page, typically I don't share much that's promotional on there anymore. The closest thing that I probably share, well, number one, one of the techniques that you can use is if you share something first on your business page, then you can click on the share button and share it over your personal page. It's different if you're just creating a post on your personal page versus if you're sharing something from a business page. And then also you could share Facebook events. If you created a Facebook event on your business page, then you can go and share that onto your personal page, for instance. But one thing to know, Facebook does these surveys from time to time, and they ask people to rate posts from people in their feed. And so, you know, it'll say, does this look like an ad? And if they see too many of those posts, then that can work against you. Alan said, you can look for your ideal clients in social media. Yeah, absolutely. And by the way, a great way to tap into this is by using lists. When you create a list on Facebook, it allows you to be able to add people to a list. And this works in a couple ways. It works when you go out to your Facebook page, you can add a post and just share it with a specific list. You don't have to share every post with everybody out in the universe. So you can filter it to a specific list. It also helps when you go to invite people to events. And in fact, since I just mentioned it, I will share a tip that I just learned today. I was looking out there. I was setting up my latest Facebook event, and I went to invite people to the event. And I normally use a shortcut process, and it didn't work in this case. And so I went out and posted in a Facebook group saying, hey, does anybody know a workaround for this? And then I went back to the page and started looking a little bit further, and I discovered that Facebook actually made an improvement. They actually made a change that works better for us. It used to be that you would have to go through and manually check all the boxes one by one and click to invite people to an event. And Facebook decided to add a select all button, which is good. That's a good thing. One thing to be careful about, though, is I don't recommend that you just automatically go and invite everybody that you know to an event. And actually, I think this isn't so much a problem now as it used to be in the past. Facebook has now put a limit on where you can only invite 500 of your own friends to one specific event. It used to be that you could invite all of your friends, and I tried that a couple times last year, and I got a message from Facebook. They actually blocked me from a period of time from being able to invite friends because they said you've invited too many of your friends that didn't respond to your request. But they've kind of gotten around that now by putting a fixed limit of 500 on an event. But what's nice is now you could go in and you could select a specific list that you've set up and you've added people to, and then you could click on the Select All button, and it will select everybody, and then you can invite all those people to your event. So that's a real time saver. All right, moving on. Let's see. Doing a quick check on time. We've got about 12 minutes left, so let me share some. Let me share a few more ideas, and I'll come back to the Facebook group. Jay Bear said, the goal of social media is to turn customers into a volunteer marketing army. And I think that taps into the concept of getting people to interact and engage with you. See, engagement causes people to interact with you more, which causes them to see more of what you post and encourages them to want to share things, you know, share what you're doing. If you're creating posts that are interesting, and again, this is where images come in handy. Images are one of the best things to post that which create engagement. Bonnie Sainsbury said, social media will help you build up loyalty of your current customers to the point that they will willingly and for free tell others about you. And I've often seen where people jump in and provide a spontaneous testimonial, which is great. And those testimonials, you can also do a screenshot of those, and you could use those in some of your marketing, as well as just using the message itself. Which social media networks will work best for you? Good question. I think it depends on who your audience is. Who are you trying to reach? And so the more that you can get clear about who your specific audience is and targeting a niche audience, then the more clearly you can identify what social media networks that they're actively participating on. But I think you can't go wrong with the big networks. Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, those are going to be some of the key networks that you want to be active on. But you can also look at some of the other ones out there. Like if you're interested in reaching women, Pinterest has the highest percentage of women for any social media network. So if you were active on other social media networks and not on Pinterest, then you would be missing the boat. You would be missing, potentially a large audience of women. Instagram is great, again, for pictures, and it also gives people a more personal side of you. Like there's probably only so many selfies of you that you would want to, you know, take a picture of you and post on Facebook, whereas Instagram is all about pictures, and so you can post lots of pictures of yourself as well as other things. I typically use it to share more of social media quotes, or not social media quotes, but quotes. I create quote images on my phone, and then I share them on Instagram. I also like Instagram because it gives me the opportunity to directly share onto other sites. So I can click a checkbox and I can share onto Facebook, Twitter, and also on Tumblr, which is another site. It's kind of part social media network, part blog. And I like where I can post out to multiple social media networks at once. I don't post everything to every social network simultaneously, but I do post some things. And so if I have an opportunity to post a picture on Instagram and then share it to a few other sites, then it's allowing me to reach a larger audience. And how do you leverage Facebook more effectively in your communications? Well, I think you want to be active on there every single day. Although lately I've been just pulling back slightly from posting on Facebook. There's only so interactive that you can be. And what I find is that the more that you interact, the more that you post on Facebook, the more interaction it creates and the more time it takes to interact with people. And so you kind of have to choose your level of posting and your level of engagement. And my thinking has always been the more posts you have, the more people interact with you, and the more that you get engagement over time. And if you start to pull back from that, then your engagement starts to drop. And I've noticed that where I've kind of cut down on the number of posts, immediately the number of engagement on my existing posts drops as well. But, just posting for engagement's sake is it won't necessarily cause you to accomplish all your business goals. In other words, you have to pick and choose and evaluate what things you're going to do in your business. And social media is something that can take up a lot of time if you allow it. And so you have to be selective about the things that you're doing when you're posting, and you have to make sure that you're doing other activities in your business, whether it's picking up the phone and calling people, doing event marketing in your business, sending out email messages to your list. You have to divide and conquer between all these different forms of communication, or doing direct mail pieces, or coming up with strategies, or leveraging joint venture partners. Everything takes time. And so I think sometimes people like to spend time on social media because it can also be a little bit fun and a little bit distracting. But if you don't have an effective strategy on social media which allows you to monetize your business, then you could just be running around in circles. And I think if you start to feel that, then you need to start take a step back in your strategy and think about what can you do that will give you a bigger bang for your buck in terms of your time. And so I reach out and I make calls on a regular basis to people. I do a lot of email marketing in my business. I do a lot of event marketing. So I have a very comprehensive marketing strategy in my business. And social media is a part of my strategy, but it's not my sole strategy. And so I think you have to evaluate how much time you want to invest in social media, what social media networks you want to participate in, and also be selective about the activities. Just because you're doing something on social media doesn't mean that's the only thing that you could be doing. I talked earlier about talking to Jim Macy today and the fact that he's doing LinkedIn posts. And with as much content marketing as I do, I should be doing more of that myself, and yet I have not posted one single thing on LinkedIn as a post, and that's a fairly new feature available through the Pulse. And so it's on my list to do, and I'm just kind of warming up to it. I need to kind of just decide and then, take action and do it. But if I took 15 minutes of time that I might spend on Facebook and I invested it by publishing one post out on LinkedIn per week, then that could, create more of a result for me. And you always want to think about your return on investment. And it's tough to measure social media in terms of direct return on investment in terms of somebody buying something. Sometimes you can directly track a person who has purchased something back to social media, and sometimes it's a lot more broad than that. Someone might come to you through a connection with somebody else, or they might first be on your email list and then connect with you on social media and then ultimately purchase something. So it's tough to actually point a lot of times and say, yes, this sale came directly from social media. But oftentimes, social media allows you to develop the relationship further. It brings a person closer to you and ultimately leads them to, whether it's having them opt into your email list or, participate in an event or do something else, which then leads them to become a customer or client of yours. All right, back over to Facebook, and then we'll wrap up here in a couple minutes. And it looks like we are at 34 posts. Great job. Okay, here we go. Roy says, who are your ideal prospects and joint venture partners? Yeah, even a simple strategy just like saying, who are my top 10 prospects on Facebook? Being very deliberate and intentional and identifying a certain number of people and then having a plan just to reach out to those people. That could be very effective. See, if all you ever do is just go interact with people in the news feed, you're kind of just allowing it to happenstance or to serendipity as far as who you come across. Whereas if you really kind of think strategically and you think, who are my best prospects? That's where lists come in. If you make a list of people on Facebook, it makes it a lot easier to just interact with them directly. If you're not using lists, you might want to think about leveraging that. Tom said, post on LinkedIn. Yeah, that's a good strategy. If you're doing some content marketing, then you go ahead and add some posts out to LinkedIn. Roy said, referral partners can also help you grow your prospecting outreach on social media. Definitely. Roy said, existing clients can make good referral partners or joint venture partners. Alan said it may take 20 points of contact in social media for people to know who you are and understand what you do. Yeah, you know, if it's a like here and a comment there, that alone doesn't really give them a sense of who you are. It's the consistency of activity over the time, and then ultimately somebody saying, who is this person? Let me go out to their page and check to see, you know, who they are. And every little interaction where they see your picture, where they click on your about page, where they might click on something that you're sharing and go out to your website, that gives them more knowledge and information about who you are. It makes you more memorable. Roy says, social media can support your other prospecting tools. Definitely. And he says, when sending social media messages, keep them brief. Yeah, I think I get too many of the messages where people are sending like a ton of information and sharing the latest business opportunity. Alan says, mix it up and rotate scripts and change them a little every time. Yeah, you don't want Facebook labeling your account as spam. And so you don't want to go like send the same message to 10 people in a row. That's going to get your account flagged over time, and you don't want that to happen. And I think I've probably been flagged for every type of activity. I've been in Facebook jail for every reason that they have over time just because I'm so active on Facebook. And it is what it is. You know, I kind of learn a little bit as I go. And actually, it's been a while since I've gotten flagged for anything. So I think I've learned how to stay within their limits. Roy says, don't use the same wording for every message. And he says, if you have a large contact list, one way to reach them systematically is by sending birthday greetings. Not only just sending them the birthday greetings, but compiling them into a spreadsheet and then proactively working that list over time. Alan said, Facebook friends come and go. Yeah, don't worry if you see that you've lost number of friends. Like when I went in today, like yesterday I had 4,171 friends. I always take note at the end of every day. I just kind of pay attention to numbers like that. And so I was at 4,171, and then I went in today, I was at 4,155. And so I noticed a big drop, and I was like, whoa, what happened? Did I post something offensive? What happened? And that's when I did a little research, and I discovered, oh, it was National Unfriend Day. And so people were just looking for people to drop. And so I probably showed up a lot in their newsfeed, and they just clicked to unfriend me. And so, hey, you know, people, Facebook friends come and go. Don't worry about it. Roy said, communicating across multiple social networks reinforces top-of-mind awareness. Yeah, and they see you in a different way on different sites. And so it kind of brings you together in kind of a full perspective. And again, following up by email and making phone calls, that just makes you kind of a whole person to them. Roy said, social media presence creates credibility. And he says, use event invitations selectively. Yeah, you're kind of limited by Facebook these days. You're only allowed to invite up to 500 friends. And, you know, if you're – I do events all the time. And especially if you're a client, you're probably getting not only invitations to free events, but you also get invitations like for you to the Sales Technology Training Program. Every week you get an invitation. And you can choose to attend, you know, the event or not. But you have that capability to reach people, and I'm surprised at how few people have thought about ways that they could use event invitations. Because really, if you think about it, it's one of the best promotional opportunities. And even if you are not a person who hosts teleseminars and webinars, you can still find a way to make use of it. In fact, one of my friends who's a network marketer, she's implementing a strategy right now where she's setting up an event and then using it to share information about products. And so she gets people to join the event and then just shares information about, you know, products that she has. So, hey, you know, whatever floats your boat. You know, if something will work for you, then give it a try. So I think you don't have to use events just where it's like physically come to my event. I've seen a lot of people try different creative approaches to use events. So the important thing is that it gives you an opportunity to be able to invite people to an event. People can select to join it, and that gives them, you know, additional access to that information. It keeps you in front of them. Karen says, I referred you to several people on the Women Success Networking call. Awesome. Glad to hear it. Thank you, Karen. I appreciate that. That is a referral. Awesome. All right. Well, we're at the top of the hour, so we're going to go ahead and wrap up the call to now. I want to thank you for joining me today. Hopefully, you got a lot of great information today on social media prospecting. I encourage you to take the information that I shared with you today and go out and implement it. Start to have a more intentional approach about how you reach out and make contact with people. Set a goal for the number of people that you want to make contact with. If you have a specific commitment that you want to make in terms of social media prospecting, I encourage you to go out and post a message out on the Facebook group and say, hey, I plan to send 3 private messages a day or 5 private messages a day on Facebook. If you want to just declare that as a commitment, as a goal, then I encourage you to go out and share it. Sometimes sharing a goal like that with other people helps to create more of a desire to accomplish it. People will often do more for others than they will for themselves. So on that note, I'm going to wrap up. Thanks for joining me. Have a great week, and God bless.